Welcome to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliott Price. Brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub.
There's a lead pass. In on goal, McDavid. Scores! 3-1 Canada!
Here's the 1-2 pitch from Martinez. Ball hit out into center field. Going back, Marquise Grissom. He's got it! Dennis Martinez has pitched a perfect game.
There's a shot. They score!
Here's the 2-1 pitch. Cordero swings. Base hit. The Expos will win. The Expos will win. Cordero with a base hit to win the ball game in the bottom of the ninth inning.
The drought is over. Drink it in, Canada. World champions.
And now here's your host, Elliott Price.
Welcome to NFL Championship Weekend. It's very possible that if the Seahawks did indeed give the ball to beast mode Marshawn Lynch in the Super Bowl, and he took it in, as he did nonstop two seasons ago, the New England Patriots would be sitting on a very different legacy. They would be sitting on the possibility of a 12th consecutive season without a Super Bowl victory. Very Atlanta Braves-like. The Patriots' magical combination of Brady and Belichick have run up 11 AFC titles in 12 years. And the one they didn't win without Brady, who missed all but one game. And they were robbed of a playoff spot despite 11 wins. They have lost conference championship games to Denver twice, Indianapolis, and the Ravens. Divisional playoff games to the Jets and the Broncos. A wild card game to Baltimore, and of course two Super Bowls to the Giants, and that Seahawks would have been three straight in the big one. Instead, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have sidestepped incredible scrutiny and almost unbearable pressure going into Sunday's game against Pittsburgh. One lucky play, completely out of their control, has changed their legacy. And I didn't say Tuck Rule once until now. Good day for that song, which sometimes I wonder, maybe I like that song so much I actually wrote the opening so I could play it. Steven Van Zandt, do we know Steven Van Zandt? That's who's singing the song. Who is Steven Van Zandt?
You know what? I know the name.
Yes,
I don't.
Do. You know the name.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of a song. I can't think of why I know that name. Why do I know that name?
He's an original member of Bruce Springsteen's E Street Band.
Oh, right.
And he played Syl in The Sopranos.
That's it. Syl.
Huh?
Okay.
Multi-talented Steven Van Zandt. I am a Patriot. Hey. Patriots, Steelers, and Atlanta and Green Bay, which should be an old-fashioned shootout. Looking forward to that one. Dan Kalis will join us just after 9 o'clock. We'll talk about the National Football League's championship weekend. Canadians are on the board. They were down 1-0. Galchenyuk has scored. All is rosy with the world again as the Canadians tie it up. For the very first time to complete our hockey half hours, our 10th of 10, Rory Boylan writer and host of the Tape to Tape podcast that he does with Ryan Dixon, who joins us on Thursday night, and a 10-year referee. How will I get along with the zebra?
Swimmingly.
We shall see. And, of course, what else do we have tonight? Andrew Berkshire to talk about the Montreal Canadiens. We'll also hear from, and it was very difficult to watch last night, we'll hear from Jeannie, who lost in the third set in a very hotly contested match. And she's done down under, but she acquitted herself well because she had a tournament before that, played very well, and now all eyes, as far as Canada is concerned, on Milos. Bad day for Canada there yesterday, 0-3. So,
but the Aussie Open.
Yeah.
Who else lost? Why do I not know this?
I don't know. Peter Polansky, did he lose?
He pulled out two nights ago. He lost in five sets. He was a lucky loser,
if
though.
Stephanie tells me that they went 0-3, they went 0-3. Were there doubles matches? Something happened, okay? I'm telling you. She would not lie to me. What else? And part two of our Haley Wickenheiser interview that she did with Andrew Walker, who right now is getting ready. Lucky man, he does the afternoon show in Toronto. He's getting ready to watch Connor McDavid in a game against Nashville as PK Subban returns after 16 games. All right, to all that and a whole lot more, you're listening to Sportsnet tonight. I'm Elliot Price. Tonight, sitting in for Grant Robinson is Freddie Uni, and he has prepared tonight's opening face-off. That's coming up next.
The final buzzer. Two glorious points. You leap from your couch, chest bump the mirror, and go to bed. You call that winning? Ye Old Orchard Pub begs to differ. Get the game with the energy and excitement it deserves at your friendly neighborhood Ye Old Orchard Pub. With over 20 beers on tap, over 40 single malts, six locations, and a full house of fans like yourself. There's no reason to spend another game night lonely. Now open on Salaberry and Chateauguay. Visit yeoldorchardpub.com or find them on Facebook.
Say goodbye to buffering, stuttering, and annoying pop-ups. Say hello to Sportsnet Now, a new way to stream sports without cable TV. Matchups from the MLB, NBA, and the NHL. And more of your favorite Sportsnet programming. Plus, watch every Blue Jays game on any device in true high definition. Your sports, your way, starts now. Visit sportsnet.ca/now to start your free trial.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price. Tackling the latest headlines and the hottest topics, it's time for the opening face-off with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
We got to start off the day not sports related necessarily.
Oh.
Donald Trump, I got to know your thoughts in general about what you think in the next 4 years.
I know I follow me on Twitter and you'll know exactly how I feel.
How do you think the sports world is going to react to his presidency?
I think they already have. I don't think anything different is going to happen. They will react to something different. But as far as today, tomorrow,
No. Do you think more athletes like Tim Thomas did years ago are going to refuse to go to the White House for those championship ceremonies?
Yes.
Do you think it's important that, say, not black athletes start responding more, I guess, vigorously to this man?
No, I think people that think that they should react to him should react to him, and people that don't think they shouldn't react to him shouldn't react to him. If you're black or white or orange or yellow, it doesn't matter. If you're not happy with the man, react to him. If you like him, say you do.
Fair enough. I just thought, you know, it's to me, all day I had a sick feeling. And
that's you. Speak up.
I had a sick feeling.
Everybody has an opinion. And if you're not happy with what's happening, say something. And if you are, say something.
Exactly.
Everybody gets to have an opinion on the subject. And just because we think one way doesn't necessarily make us right, although we always think. That's the problem with the world right now. No matter what your opinion is, everyone thinks they're right.
And everyone seems to be able to just shout it out there without sometimes thinking twice. All right, moving on. In a pending CHL lawsuit,
yes,
lawyers representing more than 300 former and current players are seeking outstanding wages.
Yes.
Is it time to play?
Yes.
Is time to pay CHL players?
Yes. But I've been on this for a long time. It's also time to start paying NCAA players.
Okay.
They're pulling. Now, it's one thing if you're pulling in a few hundred thousand in the Western Hockey League.
Right.
It's another thing when you're pulling in billions.
I agree totally. The
NCAA basketball, NCAA football pulls in billions.
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 With a B.
Yeah, several Bs.
Several Bs.
Yes.
I totally agree with you. I also think it's time for the CHL to start playing its players. Granted, the CHL has, in a statement, in an affidavit, stated that half of their teams lose money. But I think if you pool their resources, I think you can come up with a minimum wage at the very least for these players. We're talking about teenagers. Teenagers.
Understand.
You know?
Do teenagers go anywhere to help out and not get paid in a job they hope they will get in the future aside from hockey?
Sure.
Just saying.
Sure. It does have. Doesn't mean it's right.
Well, would we be able to afford everything and everybody? Radio stations, newspapers, baseball teams, they all have interns. They all have unpaid interns. And very often, the internship leads to future employment.
Well, let me tell you, someone from experience who's had internships outside hasn't led to anything. I've known many people who have had internships and have led to nothing.
But I'll tell you
except what. Gain for the people that we're interning for.
Well, maybe you just weren't good enough.
You know what? That's often the case, sadly to say. All right, Darian Durant spoke with the media
because,
today.
You know what?
Sorry.
If you bring in an intern and they're really good, they don't want him working somewhere else.
You know what, though?
I'm just saying.
There's a revolving door of people who need work and experience. So they're not even going to... I don't even think people are going to bring in interns or stop bringing them in because it's free labor. Why would you pay person A if person B is ready and willing to do 6 months
of it? There is a law, okay, that an intern is only allowed a certain amount of time.
So many hours.
Right. So long a period.
And period, okay.
Yeah, or else they can start charging you for minimum wage. You're actually working. Right. After a while, you're working. After a while, you're no longer an intern.
There you go. Anyways, all that to say, CHL players.
I can't afford you, Fred.
It sounds as though we're with you.
You're a volunteer, not an intern.
That's true.
Okay.
Darian Durant spoke to the media today and was asked why he thinks he was traded to Montreal and is now playing here. And his answer, it comes down to want. My question to you is, what does Darian Durant have to prove in Montreal this season?
Well, he's going to have to prove that he's worth what they're going to pay him. I mean, they signed him to a huge contract.
Yes.
Quarterbacks in the Canadian Football League make more money than everybody else. And if the Montreal Alouettes sign this guy to a contract that he's not going to be able to live up to, then he didn't prove anything.
So what does he have to do? So what are your expectations? Just is winning mean the Grey Cup means getting
to
the playoffs,
have a good season.
Winning season?
You get to the playoffs, it's a crapshoot. You have to maintain a certain level that says, I am a quarterback worth, I don't know what they're going to pay him, $400,000, $350,000, $400,000, I don't know.
Something like
that. Something in that neighborhood. Okay, which is a lot of money. When it comes to the Canadian Football League, and a lot of money when you compare it to the rest of the guys on your team in the Canadian Football League. And so you have to have a good season. Alouettes have to have a winning season. 10-8, 11-7, 12-6, 13-5, something along those lines.
So those numbers sound like they make the playoffs in the East.
They certainly bring fans out because you have a quarterback that's better than any quarterback you've had since Anthony Calvillo. He has to be that guy. That's what he has to prove. I don't know if he is, but that's who he has to be.
So he has to be. He's got to be
a quarterback.
Anthony Calvillo light.
No, he's got to be a quarterback capable of winning football games. That's what he has to be. He's got to win games.
Okay. Well, there you go. What do you think of Russell Westbrook's All-Star snub?
Pathetic.
In what sense?
I don't know. In what sense? The guy is his team.
He is the team.
He's the team.
He's the entire team. He's averaging 30.6 points per game.
But who? I mean, he got snubbed by... he's not a starter?
That's right.
Okay, he's not a starter. He's going to be on the team.
Well, they brought it up to him. He said, look, I don't play for all-star game appearances. I play for championships. But on the strength of fan voting...
Well, in that case, he had a better chance to make the all-star team.
Do you think, even though Steph Curry has his spot, so to speak, in the storyline, should a guy like Steph Curry, given the season Westbrook is having, should he step down and...
What, are you crazy?
I don't know. I'm asking the question.
Has that ever happened in history? Ever? Has any player ever stepped aside and said, you know what, that guy's having a better year than me. He should be the All-Star Freddy. Have you lost your mind?
Yes.
This is professional sports. And I tell you what, Curry probably gets a certain... amount of money for being a starter in the All-Star game. Nobody has ever done that. No one will ever do that. It's not happening here.
Would you do something like that?
No.
Ever?
No.
Never?
No.
If I keep repeating it, will you change your mind?
Maybe.
Johnny Manziel says he's sober. Are you taking a chance on him?
No, but I would vote for him over Stephon Curry in a starting job in the NBA.
Do you think anyone will take a chance on him?
On Johnny Manziel?
Yeah. Is his football career over in the NFL?
Well, one of the questions is he good enough to be a National Football League quarterback? I mean, besides, is he sober? Is he not getting in trouble? So now it's twofold, right?
Right.
Are you all right? And can you play? And are you good enough to play around here? And why should we take a chance on you? Why? We don't need the trouble. It's not like you're Johnny Unitas or Peyton Manning or
the second
anybody.
Coming of Tom Brady.
You're not the second coming of anybody other than yourself, and that would make it the fifth coming of Johnny Manziel.
If anything, the NFL has shown that if you can produce on some level to help that team, they'll take a chance on
you. That's sports.
That's true, but the NFL especially seems to disregard any kind of, you know, with regards to his drinking and with regards to domestic violence issues. You know, they will, if you can help a team, they will take a chance. I wouldn't have him on my team.
There isn't a 50-goal scorer, okay, that a National Hockey League team wouldn't pick up if he'd been in trouble before. Everybody is capable of saying, you've done whatever,
sure.
And there isn't a coach alive that doesn't think he's the one that can't tame you.
So, but my question again for you, if you were the head coach, you wouldn't touch him.
Johnny Manziel?
Yeah. Nah, forget it. Okay. You brought it up earlier in your rant. The NFC-AFC Conference Championship games are this weekend.
Well, I didn't just bring it up. It would have happened if I brought it up or not.
That's true. Okay. But you did bring it up. I'm trying to call back to what we did earlier.
They're happening.
What player or coach do you think has the most to lose this weekend?
What player or coach has the most to lose this
weekend?
In
each game, say.
And there's no one that has anything to lose. They've all made the championship games, okay? The Steelers and the Patriots, the Falcons have gone further than ever. You know, you want Matt Ryan, who's the guy who needs to go further. I mean, the other guys have won Super Bowls.
Right.
He hasn't won one. But he's on the team that has come the furthest.
Yep.
He's already delivered an unbelievable season. So what happens? He loses to Green Bay, and everyone says, oh, you had a bad year, or oh, you didn't live up to, oh, you failed in the pressure. Really depends what kind of game. I mean, if the guy goes out and throws five interceptions, yeah. But I don't think there's anybody that comes out of this game unless they have a real, you won because of my crappy performance day.
Right.
There's nobody. There really isn't. Maybe the last week, maybe the week before that, maybe teams didn't make the playoffs. You're one of the last four.
Right.
That's pretty impressive.
What about Antonio Brown?
What about him?
Given the video, does he have to play above and beyond?
No, he has to play like Antonio Brown, which is the best receiver in the National Football League.
He has to play himself.
He has to have a big day because that's what's expected of him. It would have been expected of him whether he ran that stupid video or not.
Okay.
Just like Odell Beckham Jr. He didn't have a good day. Would people have not been pointing their finger at Odell Beckham Jr. after his crappy game if he didn't go have that day on the boat in Florida?
I think you're exactly. They would have said,
wow, what a crappy day he had. Yeah. He's one of the best. He's always talking. He does this. He does that. And then he goes out and craps the bed during a playoff game. So they had something else to pin it on, but he still had a crappy day.
Yeah, very true. I think it's a matter of you're just giving people excuses to point the finger at you if they do poorly. If the Patriots shut him down for any reason.
Doesn't matter.
What do you think about Mike Tomlin?
It only matters if it happens and then people have an excuse. It's lovely. It's just like an announcer saying, guys got a shutout, and someone scores the goal, and it's your fault. I mean, that's stupid.
Wait, it isn't your fault? And what about Mike Tomlin and based on the comments of Terry Bradshaw? I mean, has he proven
that? Bradshaw has already proven that he's an idiot even before he spoke up about this. Go read Terry's book.
I will.
Come on. Bradshaw? So would Pittsburgh be better served with Bradshaw as the head coach?
I guess you have to ask Bradshaw that. Well, we're going to talk about this.
It's the only yes that you would get.
We'll talk about this later in the show with Daniel Kalis, so stay tuned. And that's it.
The opening face-off with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Saturday. It's going to be a good day. Always is. It's because of all the games during the week. The one played on Saturday night is a special one. This is the story of a love affair between a country and a game. If you want to try and teach someone about Canada, you go to the television Saturday night, and it becomes crystal clear. Hockey Night in Canada on CBC and Sportsnet.
Truck and Roll moves concerts, some big name bands all over North America. But Truck and Roll also serves some you've never heard of. Big and small, they take the same painstaking care. Trade shows, theater shows, concert events, experienced drivers ensuring timely delivery and professional service. Because the show must go on. And that can't happen if whatever you need to be there doesn't get there when you need it. Call Truck and Roll 514-421-0045 on the net at truckandroll.com and on Facebook. Truck and Roll delivers on their promise and on time. There's a lot of moving parts. Call the experts to assure that your complex ground transportation logistics are handled by those who know what they're doing. Because every second counts. We cover Canada and the United States. Call Truck and Roll 514-421-0045 on the net at truckandroll.com and on Facebook.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Don't forget, we'll talk to Andrew Berkshire about the Canadiens' first period. 1-1 tie, and Galchenyuk scores, so it's good. It's good. It's the team they should beat. And so we'll see how this works out. You know, Carey Price with the night off. He'll play tomorrow. Meanwhile, this is the section where we bring you voices from the last 24 hours. And wouldn't you know it, how convenient. Alex Galchenyuk on his slow start.
I just want to get back on the ice healthy. You obviously know things will take some time, but, I'm just trying to go there and play my game. Sometimes it pays off, sometimes it doesn't. Played with him last year. Down the stretch, I think Dali got injured. He's a skill forward. He skates with the puck well, and he sees that as well. So, hopefully we'll have that chemistry, because we played pretty well last year. In the shots, you kind of know what to expect from him night in, night out. We've got to try to go out there and try and produce.
Got Galchenyuk talking about his new line. He's supposed to play with Sven Andrighetto and Andrew Shaw. We walked in, and that wasn't the line. So I don't know. What to tell you. Meanwhile, Montreal Canadiens are hoping for a little more consistency from their young players. And you know how Coach Therrien is very difficult to get the coach's attention and keep it. One player has done that this year, but as far as the others.
And this is what we like about a kid like Lekkonen. We know what type of hockey he's going to give us. And sometimes you got some young kids that they're going to have a good game, and the next game is going to be more difficult. So consistency for a young player is crucial. And, Gero got a good game, but it's going to make sure that next game we need the same or even better.
Talking about Dano. Meanwhile, Jeannie Bouchard, we talked about it. We were watching it when we were here last night. Sort of semi-crushing. I mean, she was right there. Should have somewhere along the line won the ninth game and gone up 5-4. And then because she wore out her opponent in that ninth game, and the next game she wanted love. And I don't know, they say, it doesn't necessarily follow that she would have played that exact game just because she played it at that point. Maybe Vandeweghe all of a sudden realizes that she's on the ropes and she plays differently, but Jeannie had her and didn't do it and ended up losing.
I mean, yeah, definitely, serving up a break in the third set, having many game points, I think, in that game, I can't let that slip away. I felt like a lot of times that in the point I was on my heels a little bit and not really moving up to the ball enough. I think too caught up in the moment on a couple of those points.
So there you go. Jeannie gone, but nice path for Milos Raonic. With Djokovic gone, he won't face a better seed than himself until he reaches the final. If indeed he will in the final, we shall see. All right, as we said, championship games, National Football League coming up on Sunday. So a little bit from everybody. Let's start with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, his defense, a little bit disrespected.
It's we're kind of a more of a veteran group on offense, and I think we've been able to, you know, you go against them every day in practice, whether it's seven shots in training camp, you know, whatever it is, and I'd like to think that as an offense, we've helped form our defense to help them get better, build confidence, because you see what they've been able to do, and you know, they're playing at a really high level right now, and it's fun to watch. You look at stats, I mean, they've gotten after the quarterback, sacks are up, turnovers are up, not giving up the big play. I just think they're playing with a lot of confidence, and that's what you have to do, especially this time of year.
Ben Roethlisberger, and we'll see how they do against the New England Patriots, which is a whole other animal when it comes to offense. Hell, the Patriots might have made all the mistakes they're going to make last week when they gave Houston an opportunity. They're playing another team that might have done them in, but they weren't. They're alive, and, you know, never give a sleeping dog, as they say. Meanwhile, the New England Patriots, how do you prepare for Le'Veon Bell? I mean, what you go through in the week before a game is you have a scout team, and what they do is they act like the team you're about to play. But Le'Veon Bell is something completely different. Here is Bill Belichick.
A game like this, I mean, you know, we've seen every game. We played them halfway through the season, and now we play them at the end of the season, so... You know, it's not like it's the first time you play the team and you got to look at 17 or however many games. You know, we got all the games really all year. So I think we've seen just about honestly every play that they've run this year.
There you go. Bill Belichick. That's the AFC Championship game. In the NFC, it should be a wild quarterback aerial show. Mike McCarthy and his Green Bay Packers on the road again. Against a rather impressive group of Falcons.
Playing very well. I think really impressed with them in the first game. You can really see the way, especially on, you know, in the dome and on that turf, they have great range, fly around, very instinctive. And now getting ready to play these guys a second time around, they're very comfortable and confident in that defense, making a lot more plays on video.
Unbelievable where McCarthy and the Packers have come from. I remember looking at him before this streak began and thinking that man's about to be fired. And he'll point out, and we'll hear from McCarthy again when we talk to Dan Kalis, this is the sixth consecutive week that they're playing a team that they've already played. Remarkable run. Julio Jones, obviously a focal point in the Atlanta offense, and hobbling. Got a bad foot.
Everybody's going through pain right now. My pain is no different from any of the guys on the team. You know, unfortunately for me, I've just been dealing with it for weeks now. You know, and the thing is, and it works, for me to be limited throughout practice and be able to go Sunday.
There you go, Julio Jones, Atlanta Green Bay in the NFC Championship game. Pittsburgh, New England. For the AFC on Sunday, our NFL correspondent Dan Kalis will join us around 9:10 to break down both of those games. Finishing off Voices for Tonight on Sportsnet Tonight, I'm Elliot Price. It's all about the NBA All-Star Game. Somebody didn't get in. How about we focus on someone that did? How about a starter for the Toronto Raptors? Congratulations to DeMar DeRozan.
You know, it's definitely amazing, you know, just to see the votes you got, you know, the respect from the players as well and the media, you know, with the new system that they use, you know, it's definitely a big deal, and I'm definitely appreciative of it. Give all my credit to, you know, the coaching staff and my teammates for allowing me to be in a position to get voted in. And, you know, without them guys, you know, I wouldn't be voted in, and, you know, it's great, you know, and we're still building on it and try to bring success to all of us, with me making it, hopefully Cal most likely getting it as well.
There we go. King of Fun. First concert ever went to.
Yours?
He was late. He was. Got on stage and looked out in dark glasses. Sylvester. He said, somebody passed me a cool cigarette. That's what he said. I didn't know if he wanted, you know, a joint or a cool menthol American cigarette. But he was late. And apparently, for the time, that was par for the course. I saw Sly and the Family Stone. And I saw Black Sabbath.
Wait, this is on the same bill?
No. These were the first three concerts I saw. This was February, March, and June. I saw Led Zeppelin. Those were the first.
And where'd you see them?
Montreal Forum.
All of them?
Yes. Before the year was out, I also saw Elton John. I saw The Who. Leonard Skinner opened for The Who. That was a good concert. Just say it. You know what that means?
I have no idea what that
means. Deja vu!
And makes me jealous. That's the other thing it means.
All right. 1-1, Habs at New Jersey. What was it? I've got to find it here. Our resident sports professor, sociologist, Avi Goldberg, tweeted about the New Jersey Devils. What was it? I'm trying to find it. Why is my response here? Here. So Avi tweeted, if New Jersey was your home team, would you go to the arena to watch them? And I tweeted, I would move. All right. Andrew Berkshire to talk about the Canadiens, period, and the direction and what's going on. Our Habs Insider is coming up after Freddie's Ready Update on Sportsnet Tonight in just a moment.
The final buzzer. Two glorious points. You leap from your couch, chest bump the mirror, and go to bed. You call that winning? Ye Olde Orchard Pub begs to differ. Get the game with the energy and excitement it deserves at your friendly neighborhood Ye Olde Orchard Pub. With over 20 beers on tap, over 40 single malts, 6 locations, and a full house of fans like yourself. There's no reason to spend another game night lonely. Now open on Salaberry and Chateauguay. Visit yeoldeorchardpub.com. Or find them on Facebook.
You want your money to grow. You want it to be there when the time comes. Let me tell you about Paramount Financial Services and Lauren Rubin at 514-905-0885. He's taken care of my money for years, and I can worry about other things. Does your financial advisor move your money around constantly to make sure he's making money, whether you do or not? Let's not forget, it's your money. And Paramount Financial Services will take care of what's most important, and that's you. Call them at 514-905-0885. It's your money. Grow it for a better future. Paramount Financial Services.
Are you feeling stressed and lacking energy? Do you hate the gym? Perhaps yoga is not your thing. Learn authentic Tai Chi and Qigong from the very family that created it. Regular practice of Tai Chi reduces high blood pressure, strengthens joints and muscles, improves digestion, blood circulation, and balance, prevents arthritis, boosts the immune system, and greatly reduces stress. The Chenbing Tai Chi Academy is located in the West Island of Montreal. Try a free class. For more information, please visit us at www.cbtac.ca.
Down the drain? That's not usually a positive thing. Unless, of course, that's exactly where you need things to go. What if they don't? Monsieur Drain is your man. He'll do a camera inspection and he'll know exactly what's going on down there. From all types of plumbing, draining, and unblocking to bigger jobs that need excavation. High-pressure jet cleaning. From the master plumber who's seen all there is in 25 years of top-notch service. Call Monsieur Drain at 514-640-0070 or simply head to MonsieurDrain.com. Free finance. They'll take your problem from start to finish. Full service, including help with your insurance claim. Monsieur Drain at MonsieurDrain.com. Customer service, their number one priority. 514-640-0070. Having a nasty pipe dream? Use your brain. Call Monsieur Drain.
The Montreal Canadiens are in action tonight. 1-1 at the end of the first period.
It's a Sportsnet Tonight update with Freddie.
There was silence, and I went for it.
My fault.
The Montreal Canadiens are in action, tied 1-1 at the end of the first period against the New Jersey Devils. opening Santini with his second goal of the season to open the scoring for the Devils with the assists from Parenteau and Hall. Galchenyuk answered with his 11th on the power play with assists from Radulov and Bolia. Darian Durant met with the media today after reportedly inking a 3-year deal worth $1.2 million, stating that he's ready to help the Als get back to where they belong, winning Grey Cups. Big changes ahead in the CHL. A pending class action suit filed by 300 former and current CHL players are seeking outstanding wages from their CHL teams, claiming they have the ability to pay its players at least minimum wage. League officials deny that claim, and the NFL has announced its 2017 Wembley Stadium matchups. The Jacksonville Jaguars will play the Baltimore Ravens on September 24th, while the Miami Dolphins will take on the New Orleans Saints 1 week later. And later tonight, Canadian Milos Raonic will play Frenchman Gilles Simon for the winner, moving on to the fourth round of the Australian Open. And that's Sportsnet tonight.
Well, not completely. Tonight's hockey scores. Penguins lead the Hurricanes 3-0. Daly, Hagelin, and Sherry. Red Wings and Sabres are 1-1. Nielsen and Reinhardt. And maybe this is the last game for Claude Julien. Boston Bruins, they're tied. No score against Chicago. 1:25 left in the second period. Andrew Berkshire to talk hockey coming up next.
You have your ubulus muscle that connects to the upper dorsalis.
Come on, Elliot.
So let's all straighten up and fly right.
Oui, papa.
You're tuned in to Sportsnet tonight with your host, Elliot Price, right here on 1280 AM Montreal.
Ding, 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 ding.
Elliot.
Child crying out for love, an innocent orphan in the postmodern world.
He sickens me.
Hello again.
Welcome to Sportsnet tonight.
Time now for our Habs reporter, Andrew Berkshire. Is he with us? He's with us. Andrew, how you doing?
Good, Elliot. How you guys doing?
I'm all right. I'm okay. It's Friday, so it's all good. Funny noises. Who's on your latest podcast?
We're walking a dog.
Oh. Sorry about that. All right. What kind of dog is this?
It is a husky mix.
Yeah, nice. How big is he?
Oh, just about 5 months old, I think.
Oh okay. Mine is getting close to a year, and he's 75 pounds. And he has,
there you go, yeah.
He has one mission in life. He only has one mission in life, and that's eat anything.
That is the stage that it's at right now.
That is it. And he can fight if he and Kleenex is included. If he sees a piece of snow 100 yards away, he could drag you there thinking it's a Kleenex. I'm just saying. It's insane. All right. Canadians and New Jersey tied at 1, and Alex Galchenyuk scores, so everybody's okay now. This is one crazy town. Seriously, Andrew, you know that. If something doesn't happen for a minute, then we're in a panic.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny that, you know, Galchenyuk, it was two games, essentially, that he didn't score. He scored in his first game back.
Right.
Two games, all of a sudden, it's a panic, and he's playing poorly. And, you know, as much as there's freakouts about everything that Michel Therrien does with the lines, I don't think it was a big problem to put Galchenyuk down a couple lines and ease his transition back in. He was missing a lot of defensive assignments. You know, it's always tough after you miss a little while to get right back in the thick of it. It's a lot of responsibility on the first line playing center. So I don't think that's a big deal.
You see the difference right away as far as the Canadiens' power play is concerned tonight. They get a goal, but it was all about zone entry. Radulov can carry it over. But they don't have to congregate all around him now because Galchenyuk's out there, and so they have to respect his zone entry. And so the goal went Beaulieu, Radulov, Galchenyuk, net. And it's a completely different animal, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that as much as Beaulieu has struggled on the defensive side, he's been very good offensively in the last 10 or so games. And I like what he's been doing on the power play. And, you know, you notice about that goal specifically, it's three guys who can carry the puck. Radulov doesn't have, like, the straight-ahead speed of the other two, but his strength and stick handling and protecting the puck is, you know, phenomenal. We could talk all segment about Alex Radulov protecting the puck. He's just incredible at it. But those guys being able to, like you said, they have to respect multiple different threats now on zone entries. It makes it a lot easier for the Montreal Canadiens.
Well, as much as Radulov might not have that speed, he does have a great sense of positioning. So he was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if there's anybody on the Canadiens who has that fabled hockey sense, coming out the yin yang, you know, like it's Alex Radulov. He's got so much talent and so much smart when it comes to hockey. He's so difficult to contain. And one of the things that I pointed out a couple weeks ago was that since December 1st, the only person in the NHL who's creating more scoring chances than Alex Radulov is Sidney Crosby.
Wow.
Andrew, Freddie here. In your article on Sportsnet.ca, you discuss what's been going on with Carey Price in his worst stretch since 2013. And you narrow it down to a right defensive issue. Now, in your opinion, is this a system issue or is this the right D-man issue?
You know, that's a tough one to answer. I'm not sure. I know that, you know, Jeff Petrie specifically has struggled for the last 10 games or so. But before that, he was phenomenal defensively, so I wouldn't put it all on him. And it's been an issue all year in terms of recovering loose pucks and rebounding on the right side in the slot area. I'm not entirely sure if it's systemic or if it's just the way the Canadians are, like the way the talent is distributed on their defense, or if it's centers not coming down and to help as much, or maybe they over-respect Shea Weber's ability to win loose pucks and therefore don't help him as much. That could be a problem. But I think that's the kind of thing that I'll probably have to do some video scouting in the next couple of weeks to figure out, because it's one of those situations where you have a lot of data on it and you can see where the problem is, but you don't know necessarily what's causing it.
It's funny because off the top of the show we heard Coach Therrien talking about young players and the need for consistency, and yet the biggest problem right now as far as consistency is guys that have been here for a little bit. It's got to be confusing for the coach to know what the hell to do with Petrie and Beaulieu when they can be so good and so bad.
Yeah, it's an odd situation, and it's one of those ones where, you know, he split them up for a little bit and then put them back together. And, you know, the other thing is how much of it is just guys getting lucky or getting unlucky on, like, great plays by opponents. You know, like, how much blame should Jeff Petrie take for Evgeny Kuznetsov's goal a few games ago where he walked Petrie, for sure. But that was an incredible goal that probably beats any defender in the NHL. And it's been a lot of that kind of plays against the Canadians where it's just, you know, one of those runs where everything that could go wrong does go wrong. And, you know, Carey Price hasn't been letting in soft goals. I think the only soft goal at even strength that he's let in since December 1st was that Olli Mäta goal in the last game against the Penguins. They're all good goals, but he's just not stopping the great chances that he used to stop. And that's been, you know, they've been victimized for great chance after great chance. And it seems like every time a player does have a great shot in a dangerous area, you're not, you know, just hitting the goalie in the crest. You're not catching the edge of a blocker and going wide or hitting the post. They're going top cheddar every single time, and that's just something that you can't control.
All right. He was presented with the blocker question the other day. Is this real, or is this luck, or are teams targeting that area, whether it is a weakness or not? What's going on there?
For me, looking at Price, I don't think it's necessarily the blocker. Is that teams generally attack from the right side to going over to the left side. That's the way that the puck moves on attacks. And so when you're getting the goalie to go side to side, you're going to end up shooting blocker, right? So Price, to my eye, has been a little bit slower going side to side laterally than he has been, like, normally when he's at his peak. So, like, I theorized on your show a couple times that he might be dealing with a minor injury. Price said that he's a little bit fatigued because it's been a tough season with the compressed schedule and him playing the World Cup, but whatever it is, he looks a little bit not himself, and I'm sure that the Canadians would really like to have their bye week right now.
I feel badly that you didn't get to watch this last 10 seconds from Galchenyuk, Canadians on the power play again. They didn't score, but whatever it is that he may not have been feeling before, he sure looks like an elite offensive player right now. And they're only 14 seconds or so into this power play. Go ahead, Freddie.
Andrew, I'm curious, in your analysis in that article, and sorry to bring it back, I'm wondering, what does Shea Weber...
Well, no, he's not sorry that you're telling people about his article.
It's, by the way, it was a great article with
there
a lot
go.
Of... For those interested in statistics and that kind of analysis, check out Andrew's article on Sportsnet.ca. What have you found in Shea Weber's game this year?
Shea Weber, I think, is you know, the same Shea Weber that he's been for the last 4 or 5 years, where his strengths are phenomenal. You know, those aren't going away. His shot, he's a better skater than people labeled him as, although his acceleration and agility side to side is not, you know, elite in any way. His top speed is good. He can stick with guys off the rush. But I don't like his play on the penalty kill, and I think that's not necessarily about him. It's that while he can fit with Alexi Emelin on at even strength, where there's, you know, five players on the ice to cover more space, when those two guys are together trying to move quickly, covering more space, and there's, you know, more cycling around, they kind of get mixed up and get caught out of position a lot more. And that the foursome that the Canadians like to start their penalty kills with, which is Torrey Mitchell, Brian Flynn, Shea Weber, and Alexi Emelin, has been by far their four worst penalty killers this season. So that worries me a little bit about him. But for the rest of it, I think that he's the same guy that we've come to expect him to be.
You got to love it. You know, you stay away from Twitter. The world is insane. What I led with what I tweeted out like a half hour ago. Panic is over as Habs Galchenyuk scores, and once again he's the number one center, right? Hashtag crazy town. Somebody just tweeted to me, in Pittsburgh he would be a number three. And I'm going, yeah, so would the rest of the National Hockey League. What, I mean, seriously, how many better centers are there in the NHL than Crosby and Malkin?
There's zero.
How many?
Those are the two best guys.
What's the matter with people?
I just want to argue with you, Elliot.
I don't know. All right. Go home and watch the rest of the game. What else you got there, Freddie?
Feed the dog. No, I want to know, if you were Terry, how would you play Carey Price for the rest of the year?
Well, I mean, you'd probably want to give him a little bit of rest, but right now that's probably not what Carey Price wants, right? He wants to find his rhythm again, so you have to keep playing him, kind of like what the Maple Leafs did with Frederik Andersen earlier in the year when he was stinking up the joint, letting in soft goals. And I think that's the other thing with Price is, as much as he is struggling, I don't think a lot of this is on him, or at least not the majority of it. Like, the goals that he's been getting up are good goals. So it's Therrien's responsibility, the coaching staff's responsibility, and the player's responsibility to cut down on those chances a little bit and give Price an opportunity to get him his game back. And, you know, he's got to play to do that. So I don't think you necessarily need to be careful with him as long as he's got the requisite amount of rest before the playoffs. Like, cut down his starts a little bit towards then, but he's got to find his rhythm some way. And I think the responsibility for that is partly on him, but mostly on the rest of the team.
All right, Andrew, enjoy your walk. You know what? Just watching, I don't know who it was, some Canadian was just skating around. The best part about a National Hockey League official jersey, right? Do any of them actually tie up the lace at the top there? It always has those two strands sticking out, and it looks so cool. I'm just saying. You know? I don't know what to say. Enjoy your walk.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. Andrew Berkshire, as Freddie says, go read his story on Sportsnet.ca. Or go listen to his podcast, the Andrew Berkshire podcast, or he'll be on Vice. He'll be on, the website, not not coming to his house.
It's a surprise he has time to walk the dog.
Well, he's actually working on something while he's got the little, you know, recorder there, and
he's on the radio, he's typing at the same time.
Just hopefully like a couple of doesn't show up inside his next story. All right. Al Montoya, they just put up his 0-3 on Friday night. Really? That's nice. And he gave up 10 goals on that Friday night.
Ooh.
You won. You won the chocolate bar.
That's right. I did win. Thank you.
By one game.
That's all it takes.
We picked the game that that the Canadians' streak would end, right?
And
I had the next game. I had Chicago because it was Chicago.
Of course.
You had Columbus, and they lost both.
And didn't Columbus start their streak during that game? Wasn't that the start of that streak? Responsible for Columbus?
I'm not prepared to discuss this right now. We have not had an opportunity to talk to him ever. So this is a special occasion. The man has a great podcast, Tape to Tape, on Sportsnet. And he has been a referee for 10 years.
I wonder if he saw the Carey Fraser tweet.
Oh. All right. So we've got a lot to talk about. You excited?
Yeah, this is fantastic. Hockey half hour every day of the week.
All right, don't go away. You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight. I'm Elliot Price.
Say goodbye to buffering, stuttering, and annoying pop-ups. Say hello to Sportsnet Now, a new way to stream sports without cable TV. Matchups from the MLB, NBA, and the NHL. And more of your favorite Sportsnet programming. Plus, watch every Blue Jays game on any device in true high definition. Your sports, your way, starts now. Visit sportsnet.ca/now to start your free trial.
Another great year at Windmill Heights Golf Club. More work done as the course gets better and better. And more improvements on the way for 2017. Family owned with an ear to their members. You have a suggestion, they'll listen, but chances are they already know. They play their own course. Golf too expensive? Not this year. Call Windmill Heights Golf Club and we'll make it work. I love the ease of travel, the food, and the fact that they won't ask me for more money when the season's over. Great food, great golf, great price, great members. Call Lino Carboni, 514-453-7177, extension 3. 514-453-7177, extension 3. They're creating something special at Windmill Heights Golf Club.
Listen for the Muscle Milk Performers of the Day, brought to you by Muscle Milk. Whether you're an elite athlete or strive to maintain an active lifestyle, Muscle Milk helps provide post-workout protein to help you finish every workout right. Be your best, but better. Be strong, recover faster, fuel up, and succeed with Muscle Milk. Every day is game day. Find Muscle Milk at your local convenience store. Better than yesterday, every day, with Muscle Milk.
Hey, man, got a big box of porn for you.
Yes!
Got to get on that.
You guys are so up your asses. Scumbag, ask it, huh?
That's how you talk?
Nice personality combination, hostile and intolerant.
You freaking idiot!
You do not take a tone with me, because I will give you a rap right on the Jack Johnson. Let's dance, dickweed.
That's what I'm talking about!
You're tuned in to Sportsnet Tonight with your host, Elliot Price.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Right here on 1280 AM, Montreal.
Know what I'm saying?
Still to come on tonight's show, we'll talk football with Kalis. Dan Kalis. And it's shocking to you since we only talked to him like Monday, Thursday, Friday. And here we are. I mean, there's three games left. That's no, right. Really, because we don't ever count the Pro Bowl. That's not a game.
It's not a game.
It's not a game, and I'm not watching. Grant will watch. He'll come. He'll tell us about it. Hello?
Hey.
Rory, is that you? You're on the air. Be careful what you say.
How's it going?
It's going well. NHL senior producer. I'm reading your bio from Twitter. Multi-platform at Sportsnet. Former web editor at the Hockey News. And an OMHA referee for 10 years. So before we move forward, I want you to know...
Oh, boy.
That I have been given misconducts in hockey. I have been ejected from a basketball game as a coach. And I have been given warnings as a pitching coach in baseball. So, you know, I'm just saying, me and Sports Authority, we don't always, you know. But before we go any further, the funniest moment ever that I had on the air doing play-by-play was with NHL referee Don Jackson. We were doing the Canada-U.S. World Championship preliminary in Quebec City when that girl did the anthem and fell. We did that game. That is one of the funniest, and I had to turn my mic off because I didn't want to. And Donnie kept it together, and I'm just saying. So I've had good and bad with officiating. So you know what you're dealing with.
All right. Thanks for the warning.
All right. Rory Boylan, you stopped being a referee? Why?
Well, I did it out of my home center where I played my minor hockey growing up. So I started when I was about 14, I guess. And I just kind of, you know, moved away and got a job. And I never really got back into it after I moved away from home. And I do miss it, though. And, you know, it's it adds some spice when you have a coach who's on you all game. It definitely keeps you on your toes. And I was never really bothered by that stuff too much. It was just kind of part of the whole thing. It was kind of made it a little bit more enjoyable sometimes.
Rory, you could have been a somebody.
Yeah.
Well, then we would have had a good time. See, now that is the absolute perfect reaction to a coach that gets on you, is to be nonplussed. It's to go, let it roll off your back, have an answer every now and then, and then there's, you know, then the guy likes you. There's nothing. There's nothing you can do after that.
Right. Yeah, if you just kind of play with him, then it's just, you know, he can't really get mad at you, and as long as you're calling a fair game, then it's just part and parcel of hockey, especially at higher levels.
Which brings us to an interesting possibility that Cam Neely could end up being the coach of the Boston Bruins. It looks like it's only a matter of today or tomorrow or next week or next month, but it looks like Claude Julien is on his way out. What do you think?
Well, I mean, we've seen this before from the Bruins and Julien, where he seemed like he was on the hot seat and moments away, a loss away from, you know, being ousted, and he's overcome every single time. And I think it's because, you know, the fact is he's a really good coach. He's one of the best coaches in the NHL right now. And, you know, hearing these rumors come up again, it just doesn't make any sense to me, because it's not really the coach's fault that they're underperforming right now. They really have a lot of bad luck, you know, terrible shooting percentages, second lowest PDO in the league, and it's not because their goalies playing like, you know, junk. Tuukka Rask is one of the better goalies in the league. They just have some really bad backups there right now. So, you know, they stand out to me as a team that's bound to figure this out and turn it around and kind of catch fire maybe even in the second half. And I think they're more likely to finish with a higher seed in the Atlantic Division than Toronto is, and I don't think making a coaching change, especially to, you know, all due respect to Cam Neely in his playing career, he doesn't have the coaching experience at the NHL level that Claude Julien does, and I'm not sure that would be a wise move for a team that's really still in go-for-it-now mode, and I don't think there's a better coach available right now than Claude Julien, so the whole thing doesn't make sense. But we've been down this before, and he's come out the other end still behind the Bruins bench.
With Rory Boylan, NHL senior producer, and of course he is co-host of the podcast Tape to Tape with Brian Dixon, who joins us Thursday at the same time. Before Freddie asks you a question, I'll give you a little more insight on who we are. We may work in Montreal, but we are a weird collection of fans of other teams. Freddie is sitting in for Grant Robinson. Freddie is from Calgary, so he's a Flames fan. Normally, Grant Robinson would be sitting opposite me. He's a Leafs fan. And I've been a Chicago Blackhawk fan since 1964.
Okay. So I think I have it all beat, though.
All right.
I grew up a Florida Panthers fan.
Oh, my. How the hell did that happen?
When were you born?
Yeah, I was born in Ontario. There's, you know, I just
and what's what's the genesis of this?
I remember I kind of liked their logo, and then the year they went to the cup final, I was in elementary school, and I think I picked them in the pool in the class or something like that. And my best friend's favorite team was the newly relocated Colorado Avalanche, so it just became kind of ironclad in that moment.
Yeah, my son is a Jacksonville Jaguar fan and a Charlotte Bobcat fan. So there's no
wow.
Yeah, there's no explaining this stuff. Go ahead, Fred.
Freddie here. What's the next steps here for the Avalanche? Are they going to make a move? And what is that move? Should they make it?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, if anything, they need defense right now. Especially, there's not really any depth there at all. I don't think we've seen as much advancement from Tyson Barry as we maybe would have liked. Not that he's a bad defenseman by any measure, I don't think. But, you know, Eric Johnson going down with an injury was devastating to them. There's really no other player able to step up, and I really think they need to make some depth moves there. But Semyon Varlamov has also been just terrible for them. But the problem with him is his contract is so large. I think it's 5.7, and he's got another year left. That's going to be nearly impossible, probably impossible to move, especially when you have like a Ben Bishop out there who's available. But you have to be careful here because they still do have a lot of good young talent. You don't want to kind of rush into a situation where you're trading for a defenseman or a couple of young defensemen who maybe aren't really the perfect fit for you, because if they're making a trade, we're probably talking about Matt Duchene or Gabriel Landeskog. I don't think they would do a McKinnon deal, but I mean, those are very valuable assets. They're still excellent forwards, and I would be very hesitant to make a trade during the season when I think fewer teams can get into the mix. And so I think with those kind of salaries, you want to make sure that you're, you know, able to make moves with any team, and you can kind of maneuver with the cap more in the summertime. So I would wait for that, but there's just issues of depth throughout that defense, big questions in goal, and it's been bad for a couple years now. So there's definitely a lot of problems there in Colorado, and it's not an easy decision to make. They're going to have to make some kind of a big move. They have to move one of those forwards at some point to help themselves out, but it's going to be tricky to find the right partner and the right trade to do it.
I want to read Rory, have a look at his down to six guys, six potential replacements for Capuano as coach of the Islanders. You can find that on sportsnet.ca. How do you think that's going to play out? If you were the general manager, what direction would you go in?
Oh, boy. I mean, if I was the general manager, I would probably be looking at a Gerard Gallant at this point. I think you want a guy who... I don't think you want a guy who is coming into the NHL as a head coach for the first time. That's not a situation I think that you want to have that team in right now. I think you want to have a guy like Gallant come in and kind of, you know, he's been there before. He did some great things with the Florida Panthers, brought them up and got them through their best regular season ever last year, and was for some reason fired. So the problem I think with the Islanders right now is that we know the owners are looking to hire somebody from the hockey operations department, and with the history with that team, you wonder, what does that mean for Garth Snow? And do you really want to be a coach who's hired by Garth Snow, and then Garth Snow loses his job shortly after that, and there's going to be a new GM who may look for the right opportunity, the first opportunity to bring his guy in? So I'm not sure they're really in the position to get the best candidate. And really, like, there's not a ton of excellent candidates out there. Gallant is probably the best. Their AHL coach is another option. But, I mean, do you wait and see what happens with Claude Julien? He would become the best available option if the Bruins did let him go. In the summertime, there might be some more options for other teams that underperform. So I just would want somebody who's been in the NHL and has a good track record right now, but I don't know if you're going to get that guy considering what's going on, what might go on anyway in the front office.
Rory Boylan, welcome aboard. It was great talking with you. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Yeah, awesome. Sounds good, guys. Have a good one.
There you go. Thought it went okay, me and the ref, huh?
Well, there wasn't any penalties. You did well.
And you had to skate between us for a while there, but...
By the way, you didn't mention the leagues or the teams you were coaching when you got into those kerfuffles with the... weren't you coaching youth youth games?
What's your point?
That's my point.
I got the misconduct as a peewee. Okay, when I was like 12 years old, okay. I once got a triple minor in the Westmount Senior Hockey League.
Oh, gee. What'd you do?
Over 35.
What'd you do?
I thought it was a ridiculous penalty, and I complained, and he gave me another two, and I wouldn't shut up, so he gave me another two. So that pretty much was that deal. All right, football talk coming up. Of course, it's championship weekend. Steelers and the Patriots, Packers and Falcons. And Daniel Kalis coming up. Don't go away. And we'll hear from all of the coaches, I think. Sportsnet tonight. Freddie with an update. This time he'll include some hockey scores. And I'll remember that it's an update. This is Sportsnet tonight. I'm Elliot Price.
Now when I get the blues, I get me a rocking chair. Get the blues over there.
make my boner rock right away from you. Now when I get lonesome, I get on the telephone. Now when I get lonesome, I get on the telephone. I call my baby, tell him I'm on my way back home. Say goodbye.
Canada's Downchild Blues Band. Once upon a time, in fact, just before I got my first radio job, I worked in the now defunct Maples Inn, which was a crazy bar on the West Island on the lakeshore. Downchild plays there. I'm trying to remember some of the bands that came through there. Anybody remember? Oh, you guys are too young. Cooper Brothers. Dream never dies, just the dreamer. That was Cooper Brothers. Who came through there? Long John Baldry. I got to see him off and back.
What's his name?
Dutch
Long
Mason.
John.
Long John Baldry. That's where both Rod Stewart and Elton John both started in Long John Baldry's band. Back when Elton John had a different name, and he wasn't known as Elton John. He had a different name. I don't remember his name. We'll look it up. We'll get it for you. Maybe Eli knows. Eli knows everything. You watch breakfast television? Elias Mackos knows everything. And that's as far as I'll go with this. Eli will join us. We'll talk about tomorrow's panel on Sportsnet Central. It's on every Thursday on City TV at 6:30. It's again on Friday. It's again on the weekend. We'll find out when and why and who and where and how and everything that Eli knows, which means we'll probably be with him till the end of the show. Eli Asmakos. I think I'm the only one that calls him Eli. Everyone calls him Elias. But I knew him when he was Eli. All right, that's next.
Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old orchard pub. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old orchard pub. If you haven't been there, you probably should. Yeah, the beer is cold and the food is good. I think of all my friends in the neighborhood. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old orchard pub.
Now open on Salaberry and Chateauguay.
You want your money to grow. You want it to be there when the time comes. Let me tell you about Paramount Financial Services and Lauren Rubin at 514-905-0885. He's taken care of my money for years, and I can worry about other things. Does your financial advisor move your money around constantly to make sure he's making money, whether you do or not? Let's not forget, it's your money. And Paramount Financial Services will take care of what's most important, and that's you. Call them at 514-905-0885. It's your money. Grow it for a better future. Paramount Financial Services.
Are you feeling stressed and lacking energy? Do you hate the gym? Perhaps yoga is not your thing. Learn authentic Tai Chi and Qigong from the very family that created it. Regular practice of Tai Chi reduces high blood pressure, strengthens joints and muscles, improves digestion, blood circulation, and balance, prevents arthritis, boosts the immune system, and greatly reduces stress. The Chen Bing Tai Chi Academy is located in the West Island of Montreal. Try a free class. For more information, please visit us at www.cbtac.ca.
Real estate could be a tricky business, so listen up. I've got your man, Terry Vlogenitis. Everything you want in a real estate broker. He's with Royal Apache Classic, and he'll answer his phone right now. 514-886-4833. Get a pen. I'll repeat the number. Buy, sell, commercial, residential, big or small. Terry Vlogenitis. 514-886-4833. 25 years of experience. Passionate, motivated, trustworthy, transparent, persistent in helping your dreams become a reality. Terry Vlogenitis. 514-886-4833.
Elliot.
C'est moi.
You're a bad man.
Elliot.
I'm the guy.
You're a very bad man.
I'm hip. I'm with it. Elliot.
I'm very important.
Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably gonna find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Sportsnet Tonight.
Weeknights at 8 p.m.
You know you can't bring that weak-ass stuff up in this humpy-bumpy!
Give and take. What can I do?
It's time for a sports night. Sportsnet tonight. Sports update.
You got it out there. There you go. It's in. There's some people.
You know that my first idea was to call the show Sportsnet Sports Night. I thought that it had a nice ring to it. But Sportsnet has Sportsnet Tonight in Toronto and Calgary and now Montreal. So that's what we called it.
There you go.
So there you go.
Building.
Just covering my mistakes. Please go on.
There's some people thinking that Russell Westbrook is as good as gone from Oklahoma City.
Yep.
But the Thunder don't seem to think so, as they have they've set their sights on acquiring Blake Griffin to give Westbrook a new partner, and maybe that'll help convince him to stay there long term.
Doubtful.
That'll be, well, at least there's a chance, right? At least if you're an OKC fan, there's some bright spots, because there hasn't been many.
Dumb and dumber?
so you're saying there's a chance. Blue Jays today, great day for the team. 10-4 win versus Arizona for a two-game, I guess you could still call it a sweep, not a long series, but still won both. Edwin Encarnacion walked his parrot again today. Two-run home run, 25th of the year, 84 RBI, still leading the league. And Marcus Stroman had a nice bounce-back game, going eight innings, allowing only one earned run and scoring a run himself. So not bad for him. In other baseball, Seattle erased a 4-0 deficit early on and won 6-5 in the 11th inning on a walk-off home run by Leonis Martin. Second home run of the game for him, and that tied a Mariners club record with their 6th walk-off home run of the season, so it seems like they're making a habit out of this. The Red Sox, we mentioned earlier, Drew Pomeranz, it's his debut with the Red Sox. They made it very easy for him. They spotted him 8 runs in the first 3 innings. Not looking so easy anymore, as he got pulled in the fourth, had 4 strikeouts in the first 3 innings, was cruising, and then gave up 5 runs in the inning, got pulled, not the debut he was looking for, but at least he won't have a loss there, as they did have the runs. Hanley Ramirez, 2 home runs, 4 RBIs for him. And in the NFL, Cowboys rookie Ezekiel Elliott, get used to the name, because it seems like a lot of people like him. He's the number one jersey sold this year so far since April, and he only got drafted at the end of it. So pretty impressive there. Maybe the Cowboys are still America's team. Not sure, but Ezekiel Elliott behind that offensive line definitely has a good chance at Rookie of the Year. And in hockey, Brad Richards has announced his retirement after 15 years, 2 Stanley Cups, a Conn Smythe in his second season while leading Tampa Bay to it, 1-1 later with Chicago, some very memorable seasons in Tampa Bay and Dallas, but not so much once he signed in New York outside of that cup with Chicago. And that's a Sportsnet Tonight sports update.
New to the country? Via Rail and the Institute for Canadian Citizenship partner to give a gift to each Canadian citizen during their first year of citizenship. The Cultural Access Pass provides complimentary admission to more than 1,000 of Canada's cultural treasures from coast to coast to coast. The Cultural Access Pass creates opportunities for Canada's newest citizens to discover our rich cultural history, world-renowned artworks, historical figures, and stunning parks. Go to icc-icc.ca. A message from Via Rail Canada.
Down the drain? That's not usually a positive thing. Unless, of course, that's exactly where you need things to go. What if they don't? Monsieur Drain is your man. He'll do a camera inspection and he'll know exactly what's going on down there. From all types of plumbing, draining, and unblocking to bigger jobs that need excavation. High-pressure jet cleaning. From the master plumber who's seen all there is in 25 years of top-notch service. Call Monsieur Drain at 514-640-0070 or simply head to MonsieurDrain.com. Free financing. They'll take your problem from start to finish. Full service, including help with your insurance claim. Monsieur Drain at MonsieurDrain.com. Customer service, their number one priority. 514-640-0070. Having a nasty pipe dream? Use your brain. Call Monsieur Drain.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight, brought to you by Ye Old Orchard Pub.
Elias Makos is coming up. So is our interview with Craig Minervini. And he'll get us up to date on the Miami Marlins. As the playoffs started today, they would be a playoff team, believe it or not. And we'll also talk to Mike Hyka, Dallas Stars beat writer for the Dallas Morning News. But now it's time to get ready for the panel, which is on City Sportsnet Central, and the host is Elias Makos, and he joins us now. Hello, Elias.
Oh, Elliot, thank you so much for saving me from this Republican National Convention.
Why? Why are you torturing yourself?
Because I like doing that. And for the last half hour, what I've had, I've just had the visuals on and I've been listening to you on the tune in radio app there on the phone. And then I've had the visuals in the background of what's happening in Cleveland. And I just need to put my focus. Sometimes I need to put my focus somewhere else. I appreciate you saying that I know everything, by the way, a few minutes ago.
Well, you know what? With all of that going on, I was reading a tweet that Jack Todd passed along, and it comes from Frank Zappa, and it reads, "The illusion of freedom will continue as long as it's profitable to continue the illusion. At the point where the illusion becomes too expensive to maintain, they will just take down the scenery. They'll pull back the curtains. They will move the tables and chairs out of the way, and you'll see the brick wall at the back of the theater."
Well, how do you add to Frank Zappa? But I will say this. They had an astronaut tonight. They had a former astronaut speak at this convention. And that's broadening the base for the Republicans. So I'll give that to them.
I want to know now, the whole thing with, we're way off subject. The whole thing that's all right. The whole thing with the plagiarism, right? When it came to Ivanka's speech, right?
Yeah.
And today the speechwriter came out and apologized and said, I gave him my job on a silver platter. And he said, stay, people make mistakes. I mean, this is all a setup, too. I mean, you can't believe anything.
Well, it doesn't make any sense, Elliot, no. Because the story that came out today for Melania's speech is that Melania said, hey, I really admire Michelle Obama. I was listening to some of her speeches. Think of that when you're writing my speech. And then the speechwriter writes the speech, gives it back to Melania, and Melania, who had just said, hey, I like Michelle Obama, I like her speeches, didn't recognize Michelle Obama's speech. It defies logic, but as does much of what happens in the Republican Party.
Hopefully someone could correct that I got the wrong wife there, so it's okay, you know?
I know.
I went...
But, you're like, as long as you weren't saying, like, Marla,
no.
You know? Like,
well, you never know. Marla Maples. No, that would be way too many headlines for the New York Post. All right, what's coming up tomorrow?
Is there
more,
thing,
more PK?
Does
the PK conversation ever end?
Well, it doesn't end. It actually doesn't end, but it's not my fault. It's not your fault. It's just the state of us. And when PK shows up in Nashville and he goes out and he heads on down to that big bar and he sings, what is it, Tootsies? What bar did he go to?
Yes, Tootsies, yes.
Tootsies. And he goes to Nashville and he sings Johnny Cash. And then you say, you know, Shea Weber is never going to sing Celine Dion's classics, no matter what. And you think of the guy that you lost, of course it's going to come back. And of course we're going to talk about it again, because I think, you know, we're still trying to cope, and PK Subban is not going away. You know, this is not a trade that happens. A lot of trades, you make a trade, the player's gone, and then life goes on. But this is not it. PK Subban is that ex-girlfriend that continues to post on Facebook and Instagram, and you either can unfollow, or they're just going to continue to pop up in your feed. And PK Subban is unavoidable. And good for him. I'll say that. Good for him. This is a guy that takes a challenge on. And I think he's viewing Nashville as, you know, another chapter in his life that's going to lead to bigger and better things. And maybe it will. Maybe being on that U.S. stage is going to lead to better things. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about PK a bit. But we also talk about Dick Pound. Because I've got an interview with him. I spoke to Dick Pound today at length at his offices in downtown Montreal about his thoughts on Russian doping. And, of course, he's been making the rounds in the media. So I wanted to ask him a couple of questions that I haven't heard him asked. And, you know, one thing, he says a few things, especially when it comes to Russian athletes. And the thought that, hey, aren't there some clean Russian athletes that if they're banned from the Olympics will get screwed here? His answer is quite surprising.
All right. Look, my take off the top of the show is that there's nothing you can do about it. You can.
I, you know, Elliot, I heard. Yeah. I was listening to that as well, and Yeah, can you do anything about it? I don't know. At a certain point, you have to decide, do you continue with the game you play with cheaters and the testing, and you just make better testing, and then you get better cheating, and then you make better testing. Do you continue with that, or do you say, oh, well, we can't fight it? But I don't think you can do that, Elliot. I don't think you can say, you know, all right, you know what? We can't beat it. They're always going to be cheating, so we can't fight it. I think the reason we continue to fight this is because we know it's right. And I think when it comes down to it, the IOC is going to have to make a decision that is going to say, hey, you know what? If we'll do this to Russia, imagine what we'll do to your country. And I think this is the only way to beat it, because I don't think we want the alternative, which is, hey, we're not going to dope test, and we're just going to take freaks at the Olympics who have done anything they want to their bodies.
Elias Makos, he's the host. Please join him, the Sportsnet Central panel, every Thursday at 6:30 on City Montreal. Encore presentations Friday at 11, Saturday at 3 and 6. And he'll be joined by Sean Farrell, Elizabeth Rancourt, Derek Fage, and yours truly. And we'll see you mañana.
Looking forward to it, Elliot. See you tomorrow.
There you go, Elias Makos. Always nice to talk to Elias. That was Talk Shows on Mute with Incubus. I thought that was... There you go. That's Talk Shows on Mute. That's
I was wondering what you were going with there.
That's what that would sound like. So there you go. We were hoping to talk to Mike Hyka, and he has gone astray. He has gone... He has disappeared into the gloaming. Well, I will try to get a hold of him and talk some Dallas Stars hockey. We will talk to Craig Minervini about the Miami Marlins. Don't go away. Baseball, maybe some hockey coming up.
Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old Orchard Pub. If you haven't been there, you probably should. Yeah, the beer is cold and the food is good. I think of all my friends in the neighborhood. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old Orchard Pub.
Now open on Salaberry and Chateauguay.
Gotta go.
Down the drain? That's not usually a positive thing. Unless, of course, that's exactly where you need things to go. What if they don't? Monsieur Drain is your man. He'll do a camera inspection and he'll know exactly what's going on down there. From all types of plumbing, draining, and unblocking to bigger jobs that need excavation. High-pressure jet cleaning. From the master plumber who's seen all there is in 25 years of top-notch service. Call Monsieur Drain at 514-640-0070 or simply head to MonsieurDrain.com. Free financing. They'll take your problem from start to finish. Full service, including help with your insurance claim. Monsieur Drain at MonsieurDrain.com. Customer service, their number one priority. 514-640-0070. Having a nasty pipe dream? Use your brain. Call Monsieur Drain.
Say goodbye to buffering, stuttering, and annoying pop-ups. Say hello to Sportsnet Now, a new way to stream sports without cable TV. Matchups from the MLB, NBA, and the NHL. And more of your favorite Sportsnet programming. Plus, watch every Blue Jays game on any device in true high definition. Your sports, your way, starts now. Visit sportsnet.ca/now to start your free trial.
Elliot Price.
Crazy fool.
Elliot Price.
We're doomed.
Elliot Price.
Illogical.
Elliot Price.
Weeknights at 8.
Welcome back. Sportsnet Tonight. Elliot Price and Grant Robinson. Busy, busy, busy. No Mike Hyka, but that's okay. Brock Lesnar tested positive a second time.
Shocking.
And you know what that
Absolutely
means?
Absolutely shocking.
You know what that means?
That we were
called
right?
Gabriel Morenci, and he's going to join us on Friday. That's what that means. And we can talk more UFC with him. Look, is this going to be the regular feature? Are they never going to have one of their total UFC programs come off because everyone or someone is always going to have this happen to them?
Think about this for a second. How many UFC fans watching do you think care at all that Brock Lesnar was on steroids? Do you think anybody who watched UFC 200 cared? I couldn't care less. I don't think anybody. It's not the Olympics. It's not. I think the biggest mistake that the UFC did was joining up with this, the USADA, because if you look, John Jones, your biggest, you already played hardball with McGregor, then you lost the only thing that could have possibly replaced him. Now Brock Lesnar, Chad Mendes, who McGregor broke onto the scene and beat today, tested positive. He's not even fighting right now. This is an association that's calling it like it is. They're not, you know, oh, listen, that's your number one. We'll sweep it under the rug. The UFC's could go down a very dangerous slope. You know, we've seen what happens in boxing when you don't have the top name guys.
I understand, but the UFC just sold for $4 billion to a reputable company.
So they want it to be.
What are they going to do?
Yeah.
You're going to come in and your athletes are going to continually test positive. And you're going to have to get to the point where they let him fight. They knew. He'd already tested.
I agree 100%. We had that on opening face-off that day. Do you think it? Now, again, they're saying it like it wasn't. Apparently, Brock Lesnar had passed a few tests, right? Because he was still being tested. But anyways, we'll see. I just really think that it's a mistake for the company. I understand you're trying to clean it up, and I get that. But this isn't the type of sport that people...
I understand. But you know what? It seems to me, because they have a different hero every week, that it really doesn't matter. You don't need to have the guys. They need, obviously, to do it to win, I guess. But you don't need it in your sport. I think you need to take these guys out, because the heroes are built from the guys that are out there doing the business that people want to see.
But eventually, I'm just saying, if this keeps getting cleaned out, eventually it becomes Mayweather, who's one of the best of all time, fighting nobodies, right? You need big matchups, or else eventually... Now, again, this is a little thing. This is a little bump in the road. I'm just saying, if this continues, and every fight this was happening, you know, at one point it gets diluted, and you don't want to see that.
All right. Mike Hyka will not join us tonight. He stiffed us. We were expecting to hear from him and talk Dallas Stars, and we were in touch with him, and we were expecting to have him on, and last we knew, he gave us his number, and we've reached voicemail, and now that I said we stiffed him, we're going to find out that something happened and that he couldn't join us, and I'm the bad guy. So it's never good.
Quick draw McGraw over here.
It's never good to say bad things about people before you know what the actual truth is on a subject. So I withdraw.
Let this
withdraw
be a lesson.
My insult temporarily, and hopefully not. nothing bad has happened to him.
Let this be a lesson to anyone
out there. And there's not a really, really good reason and a sad reason, or else he stiffed us. Okay, so it's one.
Don't cross Elliot Price. That's what I've learned here.
I'm just saying. Had Mike Hyka talked to us, we would have delivered a very entertaining conversation on the Dallas Stars. And then after that conversation was over, we would have played this song. Why should Stevie Ray Vaughan, somewhere up there in heaven, pay the price? Because Mike Hyka wasn't here. By the way, it's tied for the best seat I've ever had at a concert. Sat front row for Dire Straits and Stevie Ray Vaughan at the Montreal Forum. The late Ted Blackman, who was good friends with Donald K. Donald, was given the job of chauffeuring Stevie Ray around Montreal. And so he was busy. And he gave Melnick and I his tickets, and we sat in the front row. There you go. I think I told this story last week or something. This tie kept getting in the way, and he was trying to play guitar, and he kept trying to get it out of the way. Anyway, we'll continue with our contender series. We are mowing down baseball teams left and right. We've taken care of the Blue Jays and the Pirates. Tomorrow night, the Washington Nationals. We will talk with Bill Ladson from MLB.com. Covered the Expos when they were here. Went with the team to Washington. I believe he's retiring after this season. I suppose no cheering in the press box. No, I don't think so. You cover a team long enough, for the most part, I think you want them to win. So it'd be cool to cover a team in your last season. And we'll talk to Bill coming up tomorrow night. Our interview with Craig Minervini, Fox Sports Florida, on the Miami Marlins is coming up. We'll get to an update in just a moment, and then that interview.
Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old Orchard Pub. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old Orchard Pub. If you haven't been there, you probably should. Yeah, the beer is cold and the food is good. I think of all my friends in the neighborhood. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old Orchard Pub.
Now open on Salivary and Chateauguay.
Real estate could be a tricky business, so listen up. I've got your man, Terry Vlogenitis, everything you want in a real estate broker. He's with Royal Apache Classic, and he'll answer his phone right now. 514-886-4833. Get a pen. I'll repeat the number. Buy, sell, commercial, residential, big or small. Terry Vlogenitis. 514-886-4833. 25 years of experience. Passionate, motivated, trustworthy, transparent, persistent in helping your dreams become a reality. Terry Vlogenitis. 514-886-4833.
It's more than a hockey jersey. It's a badge of honor, a symbol of pride.
And when the world's best wear it, they're not just players. They are pillars, carrying a nation on their shoulders. This September, Crosby, Kane, Ovechkin, Lundqvist, and over 150 of the world's brightest stars are coming to Toronto to compete in an international tournament and stake their claim as hockey's best. The World Cup of Hockey. For more information, go to WCH2016.com.
What a great turnout. Thank you all for being here. And welcome to
Sportsnet Tonight.
Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding. Ding, ding, ding.
Shut up, listen, and learn.
Every weeknight at 8 p.m.
I proclaim this the summer of
Elliot.
It's time for a Sportsnet Tonight sports update with Mr. Robinson, because it's his neighborhood.
You went there. You went there. I don't mind it. It was a good show. Solid show. Marlins, we're talking about them next with Craig Minervini. Not the best night for them. They trail 4-1 to Philly right now late, but they have been looking good recently. Speaking about people we'll be talking to, the Washington Nationals, when Bill Ladson will join us tomorrow, they are having a much better night as they are leading 7-1 over the Dodgers. That's not the only bad news for the Dodgers, as Clayton Kershaw is still not back, and there's some rumors out there that his back injury could require surgery. That would be devastating to the organization. Good organization lately, the Toronto Blue Jays. Look, everybody's saying they need some help, but they keep winning baseball games. They win 10-4 today versus Arizona. Josh Donaldson had a two-run home run, and Encarnacion as well. Marcus Stroman, nice bounce-back game for the pitcher. 8 innings, 6 strikeouts, only 1 earned run, so very positive sign from him. Speaking about positive signs, Jose Bautista started off his rehab today in single-A and looked good to go as his first at-bat was a home run. He'll join triple-A on Friday and could return to the Blue Jays as early as Monday. Also in baseball, the Cleveland Indians hit 5 home runs and used those to beat up on the Royals. Seattle erased a 4-0 deficit and won 6-5 in the 11th inning on a walk-off home run by Leonis Martin, his second home run of the game. The Mariners tied a club record with their 6th walk-off home run of the season. The Red Sox really made Drew Pomeranz's debut look easy as they gave him an 8-0 lead, but he got pulled in the 4th after giving up 5 runs in the inning. Hanley Ramirez has hit 2 home runs for the Red Sox, but their lead has now been cut 8-7 in the 5th inning. That's some good news for the Blue Jays as well there. And in the NHL, no Phil Kessel for Team USA as Kyle Palmieri has been named as Ryan Callahan's replacement. And Brad Richards, after 15 years in the NHL, has announced his retirement. 2 Stanley Cups. Conn Smythe in his second season, some very memorable seasons in Tampa Bay and Dallas, signed that 9-year deal in New York for $60 million. We're 5 years later, and he's out of the league. So definitely, you know, a tale of two parts there. But that's their last thing to say. 2 players avoiding arbitration. Mikhail Grigorenko locked up by the Avalanche, 1 year, $1.3 million for the 12th overall pick in 2012. And Marcus Johansson re-signs with the Washington Capitals, 3 years, just under $14 million, and that's a Sportsnet Tonight sports update.
Brought to you by Lester's Deli. Got a party coming up, some sort of convention. I don't know. You're looking for the perfect caterer? Platters of smoked meat, my friends. Give Lester's Deli a call. They can take care of the whole shebang. Smoked meat, coleslaw, pickles, the bread, you name it. They can do it, and they'll do it better than anybody else. Give them a call at 213-1313. They'll get everything together. They'll package it up for you. It'll be all fresh and ready to go. Pick it up at 1057 Bernard, and your party will be better than it has ever been before. The caterer that knows what you want. He doesn't even know you yet, and he knows what you want. You want Lester's Deli smoked meat, and you want it at your party. 213-1313. The one and only Lester's Deli. It's an experience, my friend. It's an experience.
Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub. Ye old Orchard Pub. Gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub. Ye old Orchard Pub. Well, if you haven't been there, you probably should. Yeah, the beer is cold and the food is good. I think upon my friends in the neighborhood. Gotta go.
gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go to the pub, ye old Orchard Pub.
Now open on Salaberry and Chateauguay.
Gotta go.
Real estate could be a tricky business, so listen up. I've got your man, Terry Vlogenitis. Everything you want in a real estate broker. He's with Royal Apache Classic, and he'll answer his phone right now. 514-886-4833. Get a pen. I'll repeat the number. Buy, sell, commercial, residential, big or small. Terry Vlogenitis. 514-886-4833. 25 years of experience, passionate, motivated, trustworthy, transparent, persistent in helping your dreams become a reality. Terry Vlogenitis. 514
886-4833.
Sportsnet tonight with Elliot Price
and Greg Robinson.
But this whole place sucks. That's right, it sucks.
Sportsnet tonight with Elliot Price continues with the Contender Series. If you caught us on Monday, you can catch it on podcast. Kevin Barker taking care of the Blue Jays last night. Play-by-play voice for the Pirates, Joe Block. Tomorrow, Bill Ladson from MLB.com covering the Washington Nationals. But today, it's the Miami Marlins and Craig Minervini. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Elliot? Yeah, pretty exciting stuff down here.
No kidding. Craig Minervini with Fox Sports Florida. And you can catch them on their broadcast. It has been a pretty good run now for the Marlins, and they have barged their way into the playoff picture. I mean, Craig, if the playoffs started today, Marlins in. So this is a terrific turn of events for this organization and for the area.
Haven't been in this spot in years. They haven't been 9 over .500, in fact, in the second half of the season in 7 years. They have been in the race a little bit a couple of years ago. They had a sniff in early September. But this team is playing better. They've got a lot of pieces. It's one of those years, Elliot, where you look at the Marlins and you're looking at a bunch of guys having career years. And obviously I'm not talking about Stanton, but four or five other hitters are having great seasons. And the bullpen has been outstanding. The big question is, are they going to land another starter? That's probably the one weak spot, not too much depth in the rotation.
I do. Your last retweet on Twitter points out just how hot. 46-31 over the last 77. That's equivalent of a 97-win team. No question they're playing good enough baseball right now to make some noise. And you mentioned the starter. And here's what I was thinking about. You know, it has been a struggle for this franchise. They've won two World Series, but they've never had a team in the same season. They've had a stadium in a place where people will go. This is the perfect storm. Now we find out, right?
Yeah, it's absolutely true. The one thing we haven't seen yet at the new ballpark, which has been around since 2012, is what will happen if the Marlins win. Because, everybody knows the Marlins have had trouble drawing down here. It's a very tough sports market. They're tricky even on the heat when they're not winning. If you're not winning, except for the Dolphins, and even the Dolphins, the ratings are lower. They're not a guarantee to sell out when you're not winning. But it's a Dolphin heat town these days. So for the hockey team, which is building up, the Panthers did a good job last year. That audience is increasing. The Marlins, they're trying to win back some fans. I think they're gaining respect, and I think that starts with Don Mattingly, who gave them some credibility in the dugout this year. But the question now will be, how much more can you gain over this run? Mets coming this weekend should be exciting. And hopefully the fans will catch on a little quicker. The ratings are increased. There's definitely a lot more talk on sports radio down here, but it's still, there's a long way to go. I mean, you have one losing streak and you're five games out. So,
with Craig Minervini from Fox Sports Florida with the Miami Marlins, and it always makes me laugh when 2020 being so perfect, 2020 in the background. Back when Randy Johnson signed with Arizona, everyone said, oh, man, he signed for the money. He's never going to win a championship. Well, it's kind of like Don Mattingly leaving the Dodgers and going to the Marlins. You're never going to win over there, Don. Well, hello.
Yeah, not bad. You know, I think this is a good fit. Don Mattingly is a low-key guy. Even though he played in New York his whole career, He's an Indiana guy. And I, in fact, I asked him one of our interviews a couple of weeks ago. We interview him on Fridays, kind of a one-on-one on the pregame show. And I asked him, I said, boy, you're so even keel. I mean, that plays well for this sport. But where does that come from? You know, he doesn't get too excited. He says, well, you know, my father's you know, Indiana guy. And that's kind of how he was. Some people like to see me more excited, but my dad's, you know, from Indiana. He's just, you know, low key. And I said, well, my dad's from New York and he's Italian, and he was just the opposite. It's just a different personality, but it works great for baseball. The low key, the never get too high approach. And I also think, Elliot, by not getting overly excited when the media keeps coming in and said, 8 games over, 9 games over, haven't done this in years, he keeps saying, okay, well, let's keep going. And I think because he doesn't get too excited, I don't think his players are getting too excited. They're happy, but they want to strive for more.
It's amazing, you know, having watched everybody seeing the magic coming off the bat of Giancarlo Stanton in the All-Star Game home run contest. This is a guy who couldn't hit a basketball a month ago. I mean, he was in a prolific strikeout string that people thought he'd completely lost it.
Well, that's fair to say. He might be the first guy to tell you that, too. He was just awful. His average was below, look at that, below 200. He's had a great road trip. He's hit about 350 on the road trip. He's hit over 330 in the last 25 games, so that's impressive. And what I like is, you know, he hasn't even homered on this road trip yet, and yet he's come up with some big doubles. He surprisingly, you know, he has 20 homers. He only has 14 doubles. So he hasn't got a lot of other extra base hits besides homers. But on this trip, he had 3 in the St. Louis series. He's had some big base hits, and this may sound funny. He's had a couple of big walks where he didn't swing at that 3-2 pitch out of the strike zone, or he got behind in the count, worked a walk, and gave it to the next guy who was able to drive a key runner like Ozuna. So sometimes with Stan, it's the pitches he's not swinging at that tells you he's back on track.
Talking Marlins with Craig Minervini as we continue with our contender series, and no doubt Marlins would be a playoff team if it started today. About a week from now, Craig, the Marlins will get D. Gordon back. Do we know what they're getting?
No. I hope they're not getting the guy who went 0-for-5 in AAA last night with 5 ground ball outs. No, I don't think we do know. And the other question is, where are they going to use him? Is he every day back at second base? I think Mattingly's come out quite clearly and said Dietrich is not going to just sit the bench. Derek Dietrich, I'm talking about, has done a very good job. He's slumped lately, but he's in the top 25 in hitting at 285 now. He's up at 300 about a week ago. Because Gordon cannot play in the postseason per baseball's new rules on the PED violation. So you're not going to put Gordon in there and all of a sudden October 4 or whatever it is, if you make the playoffs, insert Derek Dietrich. There's some question, would the Marlins maybe trade their shortstop at Chivarria? Could that open up a spot where maybe you slide D over to short every now and then with Miguel Rojas over there? I don't know what they're going to do, but I don't think you're going to pencil in D. Gordon every day right off the bat. I don't think so. We'll see.
Must be a treat to watch the guy at the front of the rotation, someone that young, that good. Stay healthy, young man. It's enough already. Watching Fernandez every fifth day, and you know you get to the postseason, that's a guy that you must have.
Well, for one, think about that wild card, which is really, the wild card's a playing game, basically. You're the 63rd team in the, 65th team in the NCAA tournament, playing for that last spot. That's what the wild cards become, and you love to line it up for Jose, preferably at home, where he's 25-1 in his career for that one big game, beat against the Dodgers, the Mets, whoever it turns out to be, St. Louis, if the Marlins can get there. You like that. They're working with him very carefully. They've given him some extra time. They want to get him around the 180-ish inning mark by the end of the season, so they will not have to fool around with that come the playoffs, as you saw the issues with the Mets and Matt Harvey. Well, obviously with Strasburg a couple of years ago with the Nets. So I think they've been very smart with Jose. And you're right, Elliot. He is must-watch. He's fun. He enjoys the game like almost nobody else out there. He really relishes the moment. And he's fun to watch whether he's at the plate or pitching every fifth day.
Craig Minervini from Fox Sports Florida. Now he works Marlins and Panthers games, which is interesting since he just told us it's a Heat-Dolphins town.
Yeah.
But
it must be me.
I know, but wait a minute, because your two teams are making the most noise right now. It was a renaissance for the Panthers, and the Marlins are coming, and so what a wonderful place it is right now to have four sports teams that everyone has an opportunity to get behind.
No doubt about it. Hey, look, hockey, you know, back in the mid-90s, and I was here, I covered that team for a local television station, was huge here. I mean, they had banners coming up at I-95, as many fans know in your area across Canada that came down here and saw the hockey players 20 miles away from the arena on signposts going down to a Panther game. So it's not like you can't turn on the crowd down here. The issue has always been, you know, there's a lot of people from Canada that live here, a lot of New Yorkers, Philly, and so on. And obviously, in our era today, it's much easier to follow your team, just like you lived where you grew up rooting for them, with better weather. I mean, you could, the internet, the games, you're home. You can read the Montreal Gazette, you know, and you can read the New York Post online, and you can follow your team. So that's always tricky in Florida, but that's something that you always deal with down here. They're getting their own fan base, the hockey team, and the baseball team is trying to win back the fan base that lost a little interest, some trust issues, I think. But so far, so good, I think. And this look, if you're a baseball fan, I know you are, Elliot. You call the expo games. There's nothing like the daily grind of baseball if you're a fan. And the Marlins are turning some people on down here.
Should be a lot of fun. We'll get back to you in the pennant race. Craig Minervini, thanks for joining us.
Anytime, Elliot. Thanks.
It's more than a hockey jersey. It's a badge of honor, a symbol of pride. And when the world's best wear it, they're not just players. They are pillars, carrying a nation on their shoulders. This September, Crosby, Kane, Ovechkin, Lundqvist, and over 150 of the world's brightest stars are coming to Toronto to compete in an international tournament and stake their claim as hockey's best. The World Cup of Hockey. For more information, go to WCH2016.com.
New to the country? Via Rail and the Institute for Canadian Citizenship partner to give a gift to each Canadian citizen during their first year of citizenship. The Cultural Access Pass provides complimentary admission to more than 1,000 of Canada's cultural treasures from coast to coast to coast. The Cultural Access Pass creates opportunities for Canada's newest citizens to discover our rich cultural history, world-renowned artworks, historical figures, and stunning parks. Go to icc-icc.ca. A message from Via Rail Canada.
Treasure Metsa. If you're a group of people, you're looking for great food, look no further. Parties, office meetings, family get-togethers, eat in style without going through your budget. Treasure Metsa. Just one look at the menu and have a look at it at treasuremetsa.com. Give them a call, 514-643-4000. For a group, lunch for $14. Ciabatta or wrap, choice of two salads, a drink and dessert, $14. TreasureMetsa.com, 514-643-4000. A wide-ranging, enticing meal menu. Chicken Parmigiana, Osabuco, roast pork, veal, pastas, you name it, they've got it. Call them, 514-643-4000, TreasureMetsa.com.
You're listening to Sportsnet Tonight with Elliot Price and Grant Robinson.
Welcome back to the show. Grant has been maintaining over the last couple of days, and the Yankees have won again, that they're all of a sudden going to change course. They're not going to trade any of the guys at the back end of their bullpen, and they're going to continue along this run. And
this is hope.
They're not going to. What? You're not, are you
I'm
a Yankee fan?
I want anybody to win but the Yankees. I've grown up as anything but the Yankees, pretty much. ABY. So I would just prefer to see them. Because let's be honest, if they trade all three of those guys.
Yeah.
And get a return of prospects on them, they can outspend anybody when it comes to free agency. The last thing I want is the Yankees to have a bunch of great prospects coming up, too. But you know what? They'll trade them next year at the deadline for some over-the-hill pitcher anyway, so it won't matter.
Great time to be a sports fan in Canada. The RBC Canadian Open is getting underway tomorrow. And, boy, as soon as that closes down, all of a sudden we got the tennis coming for both the men and the women. The men are pulling out like there's no tomorrow. The event in Toronto is not looking so good right now. At least they have Milo, so that's a good thing. And the women, of course, you got Jeannie here in Montreal. So, Jeannie, stay healthy. Can't wait to see you. Here's an interview with Jeannie and Joey Vendetta from Sportsnet.
Our guest is Jeannie Bouchard. She'll be part of the Rogers Cup July 23rd to the 31st. And you'll be playing in Montreal, and the men are going to be playing in Toronto, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But talk That's about right. the... Talk about the different types of approach you have to the game when you're playing on a hard surface versus grass. I've always been fascinated by the difference in the spin on the ball and the way you make approach shots. But how much different is it for you when you're playing on different surfaces?
The different surfaces are very different, and it is probably one of the biggest challenges of being a tennis player. I really do love grass. But I have to say, I got back from London last Tuesday, and having my first hit on hard court on Wednesday was a relief, was very nice, because it's what I grew up on, it's what I'm used to. Obviously, compared to grass, the ball bounces a bit higher on hard court, and probably a little bit slower than grass as well. So you do have to adjust, but it's a nice, refreshing change, and it also means the start of the summer hard court season, which is fun, because it's in North America, it's in Canada, and I'm looking forward to it.
Now, as far as coaching goes, Nick Saviano's your coach, and I was talking about this yesterday because we saw what Milos Raonic did making it to the Wimbledon final. And
yes.
Look, what did you think of him making it to the final? You've been there. You know what it's like. You know what the pressure is like. What did you think of his performance and him making it there?
Yeah, I was surprised he didn't hit me up for some tips in the final. No, I'm kidding, because my final was a disaster, so he did better not to ask me. No, it's great. It's great for Canadian tennis. I think, you know, the sport has already in the past couple of years, you know, grown so much bigger. So, you know, for us to keep doing that and inspiring kids, I think it's a great thing.
Now, as far as coaches go, he picked up John McEnroe in May, I believe it was, and a guy like, and then he made it to a couple of finals after getting McEnroe. I'm not saying it's because of McEnroe, but how important is coaching in the life and preparation of a tennis player? Because it's not a team sport; it's a single sport. And is it important for you to feel like you have a team behind you and with you?
Yes, that's what's very unique about tennis, is how it's so individual, which is what I love, which is why I play the sport, because I'm a very selfish person. But it's important to surround yourself with good people. And, you know, you see a lot of the top players now hiring former top players, which I think is very interesting. And I've worked with a couple in the past myself, and I think it's cool to have a former player in your corner, because they know truly what you went through. And I just made a coaching change myself, you know, back with my old coach, Nick, who did used to play himself as well. And my choice for that was really, I just think he's a great coach. And he also just knows me so well and knows my game so well, since he's been my coach since I was 12. And we took about a year apart, and now we're back together. And, you know, it's great. It's like we never spent any time apart. We started back like we were, we never missed a beat.
So, look, you're the one of the big attractions for the Rogers Cup, which is at the Uniprix Stadium in Montreal, July 22nd to the 31st in Montreal, and then the July 23rd to 31st here in Toronto. And there's some other great draws, right? Obviously, Serena and Venus are going to be there. Radwanska is going to be there. Halep's going to be there. Kerber. When you're going into a tournament like the Rogers Cup, and you basically have home field advantage. Is there a different approach? Is there more pressure? How do you feel playing in Canada versus playing in other parts of the world?
I enjoy playing in Canada because I really don't get the chance often. You know, it's once, maybe twice a year. So I always have this feeling of wanting to make my Canadian fans who maybe watch me on TV all around the world, I want to make them proud when they do see me finally live. But what I love about the Rogers Cup is that it's such a big event, and it does, like you said, attract all the top players. So the fans not only get to see their, you know, local Canadians, but also, you know, the best of the best in tennis, which is so great for our fans.
And before we let you go, if you're just joining us, Jeannie Bouchard is our guest, at Jeannie Bouchard on Twitter. And of course, as we discussed, you can follow her on she's on Facebook. She's on Instagram. Are you on Snapchat?
I do have a Snapchat, but it's the one that I've kept private so far. It's the only one I have that's private, and I just have it with my couple of friends. Deciding if I should go public or not, what do you think?
You know, right now I'm just trying to get over the whole Pokemon Go thing, which isn't available in Canada.
That is going nuts. I used to play Pokemon when I was like 9 years old. I haven't started this one, but everyone is going crazy over it. It's amazing.
Oh, it's insane.
I really enjoyed that interview. By the way, there was another minute or so left. It was just not your average everyday interview with an athlete, and she seemed so laid back and ready to answer questions as an everyday person as opposed to being a tennis star that it just sounded different than just about any interview I've heard lately.
Not one cliche.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Joey Vendetta with Jeannie Bouchard. Wish you the best, Jeannie, when you start up here in Montreal. And then there's a whole lot more to go this summer. And I cross my fingers that she will go to the Olympics. She said that she'll make up her mind. Maybe, you know, she's going now, but things could change. And I hope she goes. And I hope that she does really well. I believe that there's so much crap written about people and so much said about people. I believe that Jeannie has worked her ass off to be as good as she can be. Y'all hear the stories about her going out and partying and all that nonsense. I don't look. You're a certain age, you go out and you have a good time. That's fun. But I believe that she has continued and right through the entire process has worked hard and it's been killing her that she hasn't been able to be as good as she was previously. So I cross my fingers that all that's going to work out for her. That's it. That's what I have to say. Now get out of my way. I'm going home. On behalf of David Mione and Freddie Iuni and Grant Robinson, those two names are so difficult to say together.
Grant and Robinson is very difficult.
See? I'm Elliot Price. We'll see you tomorrow.